I see three parts to this passage today. Three parts. The first one is Jesus and his disciples are traveling through Galilee, and he's teaching them that the Son of Man will be betrayed into the hands of humans, and that they will kill him, and in 3 days he will rise again. Verse 32 says, "But they did not understand what he was saying, and were afraid to ask him." I think any time we read the scripture, we can't help but reflect upon our own lives and think about what comes up for us from our own experiences that this story maybe brings up in us. I know that when I was in college, I was afraid to ask questions in class. I didn't want to show my ignorance. Maybe I hadn't read all the material that I was supposed to have read before that day, or maybe I wasn't paying close enough attention. And I felt like all the other students were so much smarter than me anyway. I was at UCLA and I felt like I was way out of my league. I knew that there were people there who had studied a whole lot harder than I had when they were in high school. I figured I'd better look it up after class in the library, or maybe ask one of the other students one-on-one out in the hallway. I was afraid of being laughed at, and I had been a couple of times, and so I didn't ask anymore. It was embarrassing. And then I got to basic training in the United States Army. And the saying and understanding there was, if you don't know, ask. There's no such thing as a stupid question. The only stupid question is the one that's not asked, so ask. It took the Army to teach me to not be afraid to ask questions. I didn't learn that in college. So by the time I got to studying for the ministry at seminary, I asked away. I asked every professor every question I could think of. I'm sure I drove some of them crazy. I learned a lot more that way, though, and I ended up making the best grades that I'd ever made in my life because I was no longer afraid to question, no longer afraid to speak up. And if people laughed, I didn't care anymore. I wanted to learn. And I knew that there was no such thing as a stupid question, thanks to Uncle Sam and the U.S. Army. Confucius said, "The man who asks a question is a fool for a minute. The man who does not ask is a fool for life." I learned to be willing to be humble, to humble myself, and to ask questions, and to not be afraid. And if you're the one who is asked the question, let's say you're on the receiving end of the question and you don't know the answer, it's important to admit that you don't know. I had a theology professor in seminary named Shirley Guthrie. Shirley was a man. Reminds me of the song "A Boy Named Sue" by Johnny Cash. Shirley was a professor who, if you asked him a question and he didn't know the answer to, he would say, "The answer to that question is, I don't know." And that was powerful for me because I had never run across anybody with that great intelligence and so knowledgeable and wise that was honest enough to say they didn't know if they didn't know. You know, most of us grow up thinking our parents or all adults know everything. But once we become adults, we realize that's not true. I remember one time when I was older, maybe in my 30s, I heard some young guys in their early 20s talking and bragging, and boy, they knew the answers to everything. They just had it all figured out. And I just kind of nodded my head and said to myself, yeah, I remember when I was in my 20s and thought I knew everything too. My first Hebrew teacher was a Jewish rabbi, Jacob Sommerman, in college. And he used to say, the more you learn, the more you find out how much there is that you don't know, how much more there is still to learn. So Jesus was trying to tell them that he was going to suffer and be crucified and die and rise from the grave. But they didn't understand and were afraid to ask. Jesus is the one who said, seek and you shall find. Ask and it shall be given to you. Knock and it shall be opened. But fear blocks the way. Fear holds us back. The second part of this passage is they arrive at a house in Capernaum and he asks them what they were arguing about on the way. Well, this is the first that we hear about this, that they were even arguing. It didn't say that earlier. But him asking them reveals to us that they were arguing about something. But it says they wouldn't answer because they had been arguing about who was the greatest. They were ashamed. They were afraid to admit what they'd been talking about. Sounds like to me that there'd been a lot of bragging going on. Because it didn't say they were arguing about who was going to be the greatest in the kingdom of God. They were arguing about who was the greatest. A lot of bragging going on, and they were ashamed to admit it when he asked them. But Jesus says, whoever wants to be first must be last of all and servant of all. That was a revolutionary teaching then, and it has been ever since, and still is today. Are you ready to be last place for Jesus? Or do you want to go on arguing and bragging about being better than others? You know, Jesus has always been the person that said, the first shall be last, and the last shall be first in the end when it really counts. At the end of the day, the workers in the vineyard all get the same pay, whether they slaved for 12 hours in the sun or they were just there for the last hour. Doesn't sound fair, doesn't sound right. Whoever wants to be first must be last of all and servant of all. We're very competitive here in our culture, in our society. We like to be number one. We want to win. We don't want to be losers. Jesus is saying the last shall be first. I had to learn to humble myself and learn, and I'm still learning, to be a servant of all. The third part of this passage is, says that he introduces a little child to them and he says, whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me. Whoever welcomes me welcomes not me, but welcomes the one who sent me. So if you follow the logic here, to welcome a child means you welcome Jesus. And if you welcome Jesus, you welcome God, which essentially means welcoming a child is like welcoming God. I had an experience one time. I was up at the senior center in Mitchell County, and I had arrived to deliver a Meals on Wheels route. And I was back in the kitchen to get some of my stuff, and there was an open window there like there is here in the fellowship hall. And I could see everybody out there lining up for the noon meal. And I noticed at the end of the line was a woman probably in her 30s or 40s, and I noticed that she had Down syndrome. And she turned around and looked at me and had the biggest smile on her face, and her eyes were just beaming with light. And I just felt instant joy and peace. And she looked at me and smiling from ear to ear, and she said, how you doing, buddy? Just out of the blue. I've never seen her before in my life. I've never seen her since. But I can tell you what that experience was like for me. I saw the face of God when I saw her face. I saw the love and the joy and the peace of God shining through her face. She represented God to me that day. And I hope my response was meaningful to her as well. But that changed my whole course for the day. My whole attitude, my whole worldview for the day. I was in a different place because I had seen the face of God through this Down syndrome, the woman with Down syndrome standing at the back of the line waiting for her meal. I told that story once in a sermon at First Baptist, and a couple came up to me afterwards and they said, thank you for sharing that story with us. They said, we have a Down syndrome daughter with Down syndrome, and That was meaningful for us to hear that. Thank you for sharing that. And you see, children are so naturally joyful and cheerful and love to play and to have fun. And they're naturally inquisitive. They're not afraid to ask questions. In fact, they have millions of questions. I've always told my daughter, ask questions. That's how you learn. That's how you learn. And I'll have to admit that there's times where I kind of regretted pushing that with her so much. Because sometimes it's just a bombardment and I can't handle it all. And I have to put it off and say, we'll think about that or talk about that another time. But Jesus is saying to be like this. Don't be afraid to ask. You know, and the honesty of kids. Kids say the darndest things, right? The honesty, the openness of kids, the natural inquisitiveness. And that's what he's saying to us. Be inquisitive. Be truthful with your answers. And I'm not a three-point sermon kind of preacher, but if I were to put 3 points on these 3 parts in this passage today, I would say this. Number one is don't be afraid to ask. Number two would be don't be afraid to give an honest answer. And number three, which summarizes and combines the first two, is don't be afraid to be open, honest, and questioning like a child. Notice all three of those start with do not be afraid, don't be afraid. That's how the good news of the gospel starts, isn't it? Throughout scriptures, fear not, be not afraid. Good news always starts with fear not. And when I think about Jesus being born into this world as a child, as a newborn infant, and then had to grow up and mature through all the levels and stages of childhood. He knew what it was like. He knew what it was like to be a child. He knew what it was like to have to grow up. And I'm thankful that with our daughter, we're able to acknowledge that it's very difficult to be a parent at times. And we acknowledge with her that it's very difficult to be a child. At times, it's not easy growing up in this world. I'm going to end with 2 quotes, and then I'm done. They recently had some political candidates come to their school. She's in third grade this year, and one of them is the guy that we're voting for sheriff over there. His name is Quentin Miller. He's African American. And he left them with this quote, the kids that he spoke to at school that day. He taught them to say this, from the top of my head to the soles of my feet, I am someone. Mother Teresa said that not all of us can do great things. But we can all do small things with great love. Let us pray. God, thank you for the lesson that we can read between the lines here in this text. There's something going on the surface, but there's a whole nother context or subtext here that we can learn and grow from. Thank you for the good news that we don't have to be afraid because God loves us and God is here with us, Emmanuel, God with us. And that we can ask questions of ourselves, of our own lives, of one another, of our churches, of our scriptures, even of you, oh God. We can ask questions at all levels of life, and we need to. Help us not to be afraid to ask. Help us not to be afraid to give an honest answer. And help us to be full of joy and love and inquisitiveness and honesty so that we can do small things with great love. In your name we pray. Amen.